The opinions expressed in this podcast are individual and are not necessarily representative of Spirit Live or Toronto Metropolitan University. Thank you for listening.
Just another disclaimer, I want to say that everything I talk about in this podcast is very subjective. I'll be talking about my own opinions and thoughts, and you do not have to agree with me. I encourage you to have your own opinion and not feel attacked if my opinion is different from yours. Thank you and enjoy the show!
I'm like gonna read one more chapter.
That made me enemies to lovers.
Yes, please.
Is it seriously 2 a.m.?
They go back together.
I'm literally gonna
throw my book.
Shh.
Sorry.
You're listening to the Midnight Romantics podcast. Bedtime's option, right?
What's up, readers? Hello, hello, and welcome back to the Midnight Romantics podcast. So glad that you are joining me today. So on today's episode, we are going to be talking about kind of just like romance writing, like the actual writing part, talking about prose, some of our favorite things within romance books, and also talking about some of our favorite quotes. And then I also have a special sound story for you as well that I hope you enjoy. So without further ado, I'd like to introduce my guest for today's episode, Medina. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you so much for being here. So this is a question I asked all my guests who come on the podcast. What is your favorite romance book and why?
Okay, so my favorite book is one that I don't think many people would guess because it's a book that came out in the 90s. And it's this kind of old school contemporary romance by Judith McNaught. It's called Perfect. It's the second book of a duology, kind of, but both of the books are total standalones. So you could absolutely read the book on its own.
I love those. I love those.
But yeah, it's just, I feel like maybe, I don't know, if I read it for the first time now, I don't know if I would absolutely love it the way that, it's more of like an emotional thing for me, mm-hmm. that book. It's, again, one of the things that I love about it is like, it's slow and it has that languid kind of like, when you read it, you can tell that it was written in the 90s. There's something about it. It's not the way that romance novels are written today. Yeah, I feel like that story has it all. So, Perfect by Judith McNaught. Read it.
I feel like it sounds like a really fun time. So, I'll definitely have to add it to my TBR for sure. Okay, so since we're talking about kind of like the writing and like prose and stuff today, I first just wanted to ask you what some of your favorite authors are for like romance or contemporary novels, and what makes them like some of your favorites. What do you like about their books?
To be honest, I don't spend a ton of time like really thinking about the like the styles of books that I like and like the kind of writing mm-hmm. that I like. Usually it's like I almost always know from the first like 30 pages if I'm gonna love a book or hate a book. And I feel like I read so many different, like I might read mostly romance, but I read so many like authors who write very, very differently that I don't think I could tell you like this is my favorite style of writing.
Mm-hmm.
I think one style of writing that I'm not sure how to describe it, I think I would say maybe more lyrical, flowery style of writing that I have found that I absolutely love is through reading Stephanie Garber's books. So the Caraval trilogy and then Once Upon a Broken Heart, absolute favorites of mine. And then, yeah, so like mostly lyrical, flowery, and also anything that has like a fairy tale esque vibe.
I love
for
those.
Lack of
yes,
a better word.
I love that.
I read a book called To Poison a King by S.G. Prince.
I have heard of that one. I haven't read it, but I've heard of that
you
one.
Will, I think you will love it. I would say the writing style in To Poison a King is just so timeless that you can't pinpoint. Like, if I didn't tell you when this, like, the book was written, you wouldn't be able to guess necessarily. It reads like almost like a true original fairy tale, and I absolutely love that.
I love that, like, timeless aspect. Let's see, I'm thinking for me, I agree with you with like lyrical prose is definitely like my favorites. And I feel like in a lot of like contemporary romance and like, especially like with rom-coms, you're not really getting that. Like I wouldn't necessarily expect that kind of like writing style to be in rom-coms, but it's always nice to have like, I don't know, a little bit more description other than like, she did that, he did that kind of thing, you know, like where it's just like very kind of like action reaction, I guess you could say. But like for me, some of my favorite authors, look, my favorite author like of all time is Madeline Miller. I'll talk about Song of Achilles later, but you guys already know it's like one of my favorite books of all time, and I just absolutely love Madeline Miller's writing style. I've noticed like when I try to write, I try to like embody some of her style in like my own writing, because I just think it's like so beautiful, like the way she describes things and uses like adjectives and like her metaphors and like descriptive language. It's so beautiful. And she has so many amazing quotes. I love both of her books, and I can't wait for what she has to publish in the future. And then other romance, right? I don't know. I'm not really a huge like read by author person, I guess you would say.
Yeah, absolutely.
I'm more of just like, if the book is interesting, then I'll probably read it. But like, Taylor Jenkins Reid is another one of my favorite. I wouldn't necessarily call her books like romance, but I love her books set in the, she was more contemporary romance, but then she kind of started creating her celebrity universe, which is like Daisy Jones and the Six, Seven Husbands of Evelyn Hugo, Carrie Soto's Back kind of thing. And I really like that universe she created, and I really love her books, and her writing is also very descriptive. She's excellent at creating characters and creating like interesting motives and dynamic characters. So I'd say she's definitely another one of my favorites as well.
So on the topic of prose versus dialogue and how contemporary romance novels are nowadays, especially mm-hmm. the ones that have been coming out very, very recently, I would say in the last like 3 or 4 years, there is, it makes me think of this particular trend that is actually kind of a trend on social media, on TikTok. I think it's more for books that are coming out now. Obviously, a lot of authors, you know, obviously the ones that who are passionate about the way that they write, all that, that's separate. Like they're writing from their, you know, from a place of like passion. But there also is that aspect of marketability.
Absolutely.
And I feel like with contemporary romance novels now, there's an entire subgroup of like readers who are readers, but they love dialogue. They only love dialogue. And I feel like the publishers banter. They love banter, they love dialogue. And there was this entire trend on TikTok a while ago. I think this was last year. And it kind of turned into like a little bit of like a drama, you know, it turned into a bit of a drama thing where like creators, sometimes like very popular creators, were coming out and saying, oh, like the way that I read a lot of books, or like it was almost like this is like, you know, this is a tip to, you know, how to read a lot of books. They would say that they gloss over the prose,
yes,
the descriptions,
yes,
and they just read the dialogue. And that to me it's kind of crazy to me, because mm-hmm. I could never do that. Like, what are you even reading then at
exactly.
that point? But I feel like a lot of authors now, the ones who are focusing more on like the marketability of their books, because they want obviously to sell books, and not to say that they aren't, you know, passionate about writing in general, but like still, I mean, obviously if you're catering to you know, the market in that way, then obviously, you know, marketability is your first priority, I suppose. So I feel like that's where a lot of the, you know, dialogue heavy, banter heavy, trope heavy, but like sometimes mm-hmm. it feels really crammed in, books come from.
I wanted to ask you what like maybe some of your favorite quotes are from like some books.
I think the book that has been the most memorable for me in terms of quotes in the last few years, to be honest with you, I would say maybe in the last 3, 4, 5 years, it's Alchemized by Sen Lin Yu. That book, and I know that the quotes, the way that I'll tell you what the quotes are, but they're, you know, they might not seem as heavy hitting as they are like with context
yeah. for sure.
Obviously the classic, you're like a rose in a graveyard, he said, and his lips twisted into a bitter smile. I wonder what you could have turned into without the war.
I love that.
That is, I actually want that engraved on like a little pendant or something, and I want to wear it around my neck. I love that.
That's how I feel about my favorite quotes too. I'm like, take them with me wherever I go.
And another quote from the same book. This is not going to make sense at all, but our heroine says, "Do I know you?" she asked as her eyes slid closed. "I suppose you do."
I love that.
That, once you know the content, I obviously I'm not going to spoil the book because I want Kaylin to read the book. I've been waiting for Kaylin to tell me that she started the book. But Yeah, no, once you know the context of that, that is going to, mm-hmm. you know, it's one of those, like knife. Just gets just like a knife yeah. to the heart.
Yeah, I love that. Okay, let's see what I had. Well, I obviously have ones from Song of Achilles. Pretty much that entire book is just my favorite quote. but, like, if I had to pick one, I love the quote, "He is half my soul," as the poets say. That's one of my, like, probably my all-time favorite. Actually, no, that one and "I am made of memories" are, like, my all-time favorite quotes. I think "I am made of memories" is probably my favorite quote of all time.
Beautiful.
Because it's so true. Like, when you, like, Madeline Miller's just so good at, like, writing these, like, honestly, these, like, one-liners. When you just, like, when you think about it, you're like, wow, that actually, like, that really hits, like,
that makes perfect sense.
Like, you are your memories, because that is, like, those are all the moments in your life that shaped you and made you who you are. And so when you think about it, you're like, wow, like, is she, like, reading my soul? So I love that one. And then this is one of Patroclus, just kind of like not describing Achilles, but you'll get it. It's "I could recognize him by touch alone, by smell. I would know him blind by the way his breaths came and his feet struck the earth. I would know him in death at the end of the world." I just love these, like, I'm a huge romantic person, obviously. I'm, like, a hopeless romantic person. Everyone knows that. But, like, these kind of quotes, they just, like, they make me, like, so, like, giddy. And just, like, obviously this book goes on an adventure, okay. But it just steals my heart.
Going off of that, I have another quote, again, from Alchemist, but, okay.
We have one book that we read and we like. That's it.
"You are not replaceable," he said, his hands trembling against her shoulders. "You are not required to make your death convenient. You are allowed to be important to people."
I love that.
That's
a great one.
Cain Farron, the man you are.
The man you are. And see, I can't even really say that about Achilles, because, like, he obviously has issues, but, like, still.
Oh, Cain Farron is nothing but issues. Like, that man is all issues.
We love our men that are all issues. Okay, so we can definitely chat next. I have some, like, almost, like elements within romance novels, like, that writers include, that I want to know kind of, like, your opinions on. So my first question was, do you prefer, first-person POV, third-person POV, or dual POV for your perspective when you're reading?
I truly don't have a preference.
Really? Okay.
I do not have a preference. If I love a story, I love a story. I've read books that have been first-person, dual POV, second person. In fact, my favorite book of all time is... No, wait. What am I? Second person? Third person. Yeah, so I actually don't have a preference at all. It's all about the story for me. I don't really care how the book is written, whether it's dual POV or written in third person. My favorite book is in third person. So, yeah, it really... I don't think I even pay attention to that aspect of a book when I'm reading. Like, if I love a book, if I get into the flow of a story, I don't care.
I totally understand that. Like, if I feel like if I really get into it, then I, like, can disregard. But, like, I definitely prefer, I'd say probably first person or dual POV is probably my favorite. I really do like dual POV, but only when it's done well. But then the thing is with dual POV, there's always one perspective you want to read more to the other than the other, so you kind of, like,
yes,
rush through the perspective that you don't really want to read to get to the one that you want. But I don't know, I've always had kind of, like, issues with third person, just because I feel like it sometimes can feel like I'm not as connected to the characters or in the story, because I really like anytime I write, I always write with first person. I always do. I've never started writing anything and started in third person. I think that's just me personally. Like, I really like to immerse myself in the story. And so I feel like I've just always gravitated more towards first person. Not to say I've never read a third person book and enjoyed it. I just prefer first person for me. Okay, so that's really interesting that you don't have a preference. My next kind of question was, what are some of your favorite traits that are, for, like, characters? Because it's so difficult to write a good character that's compelling and flawed and, like, people want to root for. So what are your kind of, like, you can even say, like, some of your favorite characters that you've read, or, like, what are, like, specific, like, traits or qualities that, like, get you excited or, like, invested in a character?
Okay, honestly, I at the moment, like, I don't think I could tell you what my favorite traits are and, you know, like, what my absolute favorite traits are in different characters, like female, male, whatever. But because I feel like I don't think I really think about that. If I love a character, I love all of them. I love their, you know, their flaws. I love whatever is wrong with them. I love everything about it. So I don't really think about, like, distinct qualities in characters that, like, oh, like, I love characters who act a certain way or, like, have a certain problem. Or, although, just in general, in books, I do love it when, like, one of the main characters represents some kind of mental health issue really, really well.
Yes,
and it's dealt
yes.
with
like, not an exploitative way.
Yes.
Or, like a way that, like, is truly trying to, like, provide awareness and, like, reduce stigma and not use it as, like, a quirky character
yes.
thing. Because
yeah.
I feel like a lot of books can, like, throw that into a character to be like, oh, look, like, mental health rep, like, inclusive, like, oh my gosh, my character's so, like, unique and quirky. And it just ends up feeling, like, inauthentic and honestly exploitative. So I know exactly what you're saying.
Yeah, but the thing that I don't like about characters, it's something that, like, really, it kind of stands out to me when a character does have, like, that particular trait, is when, or, like, any characters, if your character is in the contemporary world and it's the modern world and they're a fully grown adult and they're kind of just, like, flailing about and they have issues that could, like, easily be solved through, I don't know, a conversation.
Yes.
That,
they just seem childish.
Yes. That is something that I cannot deal with. So favorite traits, could not tell you exactly, but something that I absolutely hate is that. Like, just a grown adult flailing about, not dealing with their issues that are easy to deal with. Like, I understand
mm-hmm.
if, like, obviously, you know, there are stories, books, whatever, that you know, that have very complex issues. I get that. But if it's, like, if it can be, like, fixed with a, you know, like, one having a conversation over coffee or, like, going to therapy
yeah.
a couple of times a month, like, do that, please.
I feel like this can be a, like, something authors who, like, transition from YA to, like, writing adult or new adult romance especially can face, because they're used to writing, like, younger characters, and so, like, when they make a transition, they sometimes don't realize how to, like, age up their characters, like, correctly, or, like, adjust their behaviors from, like, a YA character to a adult character kind of thing. I totally understand. Like, that is really frustrating to read about, because you're, like, you're reading this and you're, like, they're older than me and I'm more mature than them. Like, what is going on kind of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. So I guess I'm not a very positive person. I don't really think about, like, the positive aspects, because I can't explain it, but when I love a book, when I love a story, I'm also a big DNF-er. So, like, I will...
Yes.
I will drop a book, like, in a second.
I wish I could do
yeah.
that.
I wasn't like this all the time, like, the, you know, in the past. I used to be one of those people where, like, I had to finish a
That's
book even
still
if I
me.
Was even if I was, like, 10% of the way through a book and I knew that I hated it.
You've made a commitment, you have to follow
yeah.
through. Now,
no, I can't do that anymore. I cannot do that anymore. So now, if I do finish a book, it's usually a book that I love.
Mm-hmm.
So, and if I'm completely absorbed by a story that I love, I'm honestly not even thinking so much about, like, little things about the characters or things about the plot or whatever that I really, really love. But if I hate something, then that becomes, like, a thing for me where, like, I don't forget about it. I always remember it.
Okay, so now I have some of my own writing that I would like to share with you guys. So, the story that I'm going to share with you, I wrote for a short story contest, like, I think last year, and it was a story that I really liked. It was actually inspired by the song Scott Street by Phoebe Bridgers. It's one of my favorite songs ever, so if you can tell that I took inspiration from that song. But I kind of sound designed it in a class I had last semester and kind of brought it to life a little bit. So I'm going to share that with you, and I really hope that you enjoy it. So here it is. I'm cruising down Highway 302, the radio crackling out of my stereo as I exit off the highway. The smooth pavement transitions to gravel, causing small stones to clatter in the wheel wells. Sweat collects on my forehead in the summer heat, and I roll down my window to cool off just as I am passing the welcome sign. Some people say coming home feels like a hug. To me, it feels stifling, like someone is suffocating me with a pillow. I pass some kids playing by the creek. their hands muddy and their faces sticky with the dribble of peach juice as they chase each other aimlessly. I smile, despite the threat of tears in my eyes. This used to be our spot. Now, I feel like a stranger. I pull into the parking lot of the farmer's market. I thought I would pick up some flowers for Mom and my brother's favorite ice cream before heading home. I moved to the city a few years ago and only come back once every few months. If it weren't for my family, I probably wouldn't return at all. I pull my keys from the ignition and open my door, cringing as the hinges squeak loudly, and I step into the market, catching snippets of conversation as I wind my way through the bodies to the freezer in the back. I grab a tub of peppermint ice cream and add it to my basket. The freezer closes with a thud, and I walk out to the greenhouse, hoping to find tulips, Mom's favorite. "Do you have any orchids?" I immediately jolt my eyes upwards upon hearing that voice. Sure enough, my eyes come into contact with someone familiar, doesn't even begin to describe. My heart is pounding in my ears, quieting the market. I don't know if I should run or say something. My mouth decides for me. "Sawyer?" I blurt out, my voice unsteady. He looks up from the man he's talking to and directly at me. "Oh, June." The absence of my nickname jolts me. He apologizes to the employee, then reluctantly walks towards me, his long strides bringing him closer to me than I was prepared for. He always used to beat me when we raced down by the creek. I would yell at him for cheating, and he would push me into the water before jumping in after me. "I didn't know you were in town," he says, looking at the corner of my face. Yeah, I have a break at work, and I haven't seen Mom and Leo in a while, so I thought I'd stop by." "Yeah, that's cool." Sawyer looks down when he's talking and fiddles with the bracelet on his wrist. It's the one his sister made for him at her princess-themed 6th birthday party. I know because I was there, dressed as Rapunzel or Belle. Time has made my memories foggy like some London days. A long pause stretches between us. I feel as though my brain is a sandbox and I am feverishly digging with a plastic shovel, trying to uncover words or questions. "How's Lara? She's still doing gymnastics?" I ask nervously, fiddling with the frayed edges of my shorts, trying my best to look him in the eyes. His eyes are the kind of green that matches the forest leaves in the height of spring. We used to have a treehouse in the forest. Our secret hideout, we called it. If there was ever an alien invasion, this was the place we agreed to stay until the apocalypse subsided. We spent so much time there. I remember the old floorboards littered with snacks, a movie playing in the background as we munched and talked about anything and everything. Sometimes, when I'm alone in my apartment, the neon lights of the city streaming in through my window, I think about these memories and I cry. Memories are like that, a double-edged sword. I'm pulled from them by Sawyer's voice, a low, rumbling timbre. Not right now. She hurt her knee pretty bad, on some tumble routine, I think, so she's been out for a while. Hopefully she can make it a return for next season. I can tell by his fidgeting that he wants to go. He wants me to say goodbye so he can move on with his life, and so can I. So the tether can finally break. But I keep talking. "What about you? Are you still playing drums?" When we were 14, he got a drum kit for Christmas and set it up in the garage. I would come over with Twizzlers and watch him play. No, not really. I sold my kit a while back. I noticed the flash of remorse in his eyes. "I'm sorry, you were really good, like Phil Budd." "Rudd," he corrects me, the corners of his lips tugging into a smile. "Yeah, that guy," I say, smiling. His face falls then. It's like I can see a motion picture playing in his eyes. The time I broke my leg skiing and he brought my homework to me every day, when he made me laugh while drinking milkshakes until it came out my nose. When his dog Pixie died and he cried into my shoulder for the whole day. Yeah, the fight we had when I walked out and went radio silent. He drags a hand across his face and the film is done. I feel something wet drip on my foot and my attention is drawn to my basket. Condensation has collected on the ice cream tub and there are droplets that have begun to slide off it and drip down my leg. Oh, well, my ice cream is melting. It's for Leo, so I better go. I take a step back, waiting to see what his next move is. "Yeah, for sure. I gotta head out anyway," he says, gesturing to nowhere. "It was nice to see you, Sawyer," I say earnestly. "Yeah," he responds, switching his bracelet to the other wrist. I lower my gaze to my feet and begin to walk towards the door. I don't feel his eyes on me. Only the droplets from the ice cream tub trailing down my leg. All right, so that just about wraps up our episode today. I hope you enjoyed. I'd like to thank Medina for being on the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
Happy to be here. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, thank you so much, and I will catch you guys in the next episode. As always, bedtime is optional. Finish your last chapter. Okay, I'll see you next week. Bye.